Blog Talk Radio.
This is Francesca Durham of francescadurham.com, and I'm excited to welcome back my guest, Dennis Gorge Borge. We spoke earlier in the year about his co-authored book, Dare to Rise. Dennis is an executive and life coach who works worldwide to help organizations find balance and economic sustainability through developing awareness and consciousness. And our conversation today is about, it's a little different, it's about a series of articles that Dennis recently published on social media. And the first in a series in the series that we will discuss today is called Remember When You Think Someone Listens. And the second article was titled, Could Your Happiness Change the World? Now, both articles have stirred a great deal of conversation, and so that's what we're going to further explore today. Hello, Dennis, and thank you for joining me.
Thank you very much, Francesca. I'm so happy to be with you again for a new conversation.
And I'm excited as well. Are you ready to get started?
Oh, yes, I am.
Okay, fabulous. Your article writing is a wonderful complement to your book, Dare to Rise, that keeps the conversation going about reshaping humanity and ourselves, which was the essence of the book. So can we expect more in this series that you've recently shared online through social media?
Oh, yes, Francesca. Yes, it's a compliment to the book Dare to Rise. But you see, we started writing the book in 2012 with Teresa, and we're now in 2016, and my life goes on, and the change process continues. There has been such acceleration in my own development and my understanding of life and what the world is all about. So I just want to say here that what I'm going to express today, it's just my understanding of the world and of reality and how we can change. So I'm not pretending that's what I'm saying is the truth. It's only my view, and I'm not a scientist. I'm a seeker. I'm probably a thinker and probably a feeler. It's my experience of my own life that is at the core of what I'm talking about.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing that detail. I mean, we're definitely going to be looking forward to reading many more articles from you on social media. I know I, in particular, find them on LinkedIn. So thank you for sharing what you already have. And let's move on to start talking about the first article. Remember that when you think, someone listens. And I remember upon first glance of this article, okay, so you had me at, don't think that your thinking is private because it is not. That really caught my attention, Dennis. So why don't we start there and have a listen to you further explain that message?
Yes, Francesca, and I'm glad that this was provoking enough. In fact, I'm referring here to your own unconscious mind. The role of the unconscious mind is to listen and to reproduce. That's why it's so hard to change. When your unconscious mind records a reaction, then it repeats every time a similar situation appears. The second aspect of that is the notion of global unconscious mind of humanity. Our thoughts, emotions, and vibrations are not separated from the rest of the world. So we are kind of swimming in a huge sea of energy and waves of all kinds. And it's all connected through a subtle network called the field. And therefore, when I'm thinking, the energy wave resulting from it is joining the global sea of waves. Entertaining certain kind of thoughts in your mind is not neutral at all, and it has as well consequences. And I'm not trying to make anyone feel guilty or scared, but I'm trying to point out something we discussed in Dare to Rise, which is our individual responsibility. So as long as we believe that we're just victims, so to speak, we can't change anything, and we just try to survive in this world.
Interesting. Okay. Well, you go on to mention Masaru Emoto, if I've pronounced the name correctly, but the author of Hidden Messages in Water, a very rare and special book indeed, is filled with wise teachings and a great place for us to get started or further this conversation and reflecting on the words of Dr. Emoto. And one of the many things that he learned from water is explained when he states, and I'll quote this, he says, "What you really know is possible in your heart is possible. And we make it possible by our will. What we imagine in our minds becomes our world." The end of his quote. What are your thoughts on that statement, Dennis?
Well, Francesca, thank you, because that's what I want to talk about. I deeply believe that from the beginning we get the basic principle reversed. So we're in a sort of chicken and egg situation. We believe that reality comes from outside. And as long as we do, the only thing we can do is to react to it. What if, in fact, a big part of what happens to us is just the result of how we think, how we feel, and how we react? So thoughts are generating emotions which create waves with a specific frequency. Because of the wave that we create every time we feel, we connect with a certain level of vibration. It is, I'm going to take a metaphor. You know I like metaphors. It's a little bit as if every time you think and feel, in fact, you press a button in a sort of vibrational elevator. So when the doors open, you're in fact in a reality that matches your level of vibration, if it makes sense. So we often complain about what happens, you know, in our life. And in fact, the more we do it, the more we generate the same. And the more we prove ourselves right, actually, to believe what we believe. That's what it's all about. So we need to understand the power that we have through emotions, and that what happens is very often the result of that power and not the other way around. So in many cases, we're victims of our own power without knowing it. Because every time we react, we're under the power of our unconscious mind, which repeats over and over again the same recorded reaction. So the real question here is, are we in charge? Or is it our unconscious mind deciding for our reactions? So in order to change this, I can tell you we need to pay a great deal of attention. Because our thoughts, our perceptions, and emotions are literally making our reality. Taking back control is definitely a key element in order to change our level of vibration and to connect with other levels of reality. Reality is everything we're talking about here.
So, Dennis, if I could just mention here then that, you know how we often hear the statement, oh, the power of words is so important, what you say. I think you're taking it one step further and also including the power of our thoughts also have transformational benefits.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Our thoughts, you know, we have a flow of about, you know, it depends who's measuring, but let's say 50 to 60,000 thoughts a day. So there's a flow of thoughts. It's not so much about the thoughts, but about what kind of thoughts we're giving attention to. And so where do we put our attention? And as we explained in the book, Dare to Rise, we're like tuning machines, like emitter receptors. And Masaru Emoto has shown that each word has a particular impact because it has a frequency. Everything is like a wave of energy vibrating. So as long as we don't get the cause and effect right, we keep attracting the same situations. And I am not even talking about health, which is mainly defined by our level of vibration. We're made of about 70% water. And when we circle over and over again in negative thinking, we alter the very nature of water in our system. And we kind of shut down its power of transmission and regeneration.
So in the article, you say that first you attract to yourself everything attuned with your thoughts and vibrations. Again, we're speaking about the power of words and beyond. But you also go on to say that, second, you contribute to the world as it is with whatever you think about from the privacy of your own mind. So to me, this speaks to intention, good or otherwise, hope, salvation, that lives inside each and every one of us. Let's explore that a little bit, too.
Oh, yes. Let's go a bit further in the rabbit hole.
Okay.
It's about cause and effects. And my theory is that reality is the result of our thoughts. Put together with the same kind of thoughts from millions and millions of other people at the same time. So it means that we all contribute to solidify a version of reality, which is only one possibility in the field of infinite possibilities when we speak in the quantum realm. I experienced in my own life the fact that when I'm in fear, for example, life brings me many more reasons to be fearful. It's only a question of tuning program. Once again, at our level of vibration, we have the reality of the world as it is today. Changing our level of vibration would contribute to change reality altogether. That's my view.
And an interesting one at that, because, again, for me, this is just what I'm hearing, is that you're at a place in your life where you can see a much bigger picture and what's good at the end of that rainbow, if you want to call it that. Not everybody's there in their lives, because being multidimensional beings, we've got so much going on in our lives constantly. It's a big job to figure this all out, which is why we're enjoying having an opportunity to speak with you about this subject. And let's just shift gears a little bit and talk about your second article, because time does go really quick, and I want to make sure we can talk about article number two that's related to happiness. And that's keeping the discussion of quantum physics and consciousness simplified here, okay? So first, let's look at the word happiness from the dictionary, the online dictionary. I just wrote that out here, and the statement was that happiness is a quality or a state of being happy. So, Dennis, a very simplified definition of the word. How do you explain happiness and being happy and happiness?
You know, I'm very time conscious today, and that could take us days. I pretty like this definition, and I think it's pretty accurate. Yes, happiness is a state of being. What I would add to this, which is so important to me, that it doesn't need a reason. So for me, it's deeply associated with the notion of gratefulness. And I believe that happiness can't really be present when there is not a sort of awareness of the gift of being happy. Does it make sense?
Well, that does make sense, because what you've presented us with is shifting our mindset to remember that happiness doesn't need a reason. I really like that explanation, so thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, it's... For me, it's to have faith in life, and I'm not talking religiously, but to feel that I'm okay, whatever happens. It is about letting go, and on the other hand, letting come. It's about surrendering and trusting that everything will be okay. So It's about knowing, and when I'm saying knowing, it's not in my head, but deep in my guts, knowing that I'm looked after, that I'm loved, and I'm never ever alone. So for me, happiness is a state of being that we need to reconnect with as often as possible. What do you need to tell yourself to connect with happiness? You know, what is it for you? Only you can answer this. But one thing is certain, and it's that if you keep telling yourself the same things you have been telling yourself so far and for so many years, you're going to get the same result. So how can you make this kind of intimate connection with this notion of happiness?
Beautifully said. Again, thank you for sharing. I'm going to continue talking about this second article that you have written, where you go on to say that more and more scientists state that our entire universe could be a giant video game. And Bruce Lipton says about the film The Matrix, a film that you really do enjoy, he goes on to say that it's not science fiction, but a documentary. So let's explore that a little bit. To your point mentioned, The Biology of Belief, a book by Bruce Lipton, takes the reader on a journey to think about learning how to retrain our thinking and how our beliefs control behavior and gene activity, and consequently the unfolding of our lives, as you've just gently started explaining to us. So that's a level of detail that truly just boggles the mind. So what does all of this stuff really mean, Dennis?
Okay, well, Francesca, here we go. What I really want to say here is that whatever your reality is right now, you can change it. You can alter the program by understanding the way it works. I mentioned in the article that at a subatomic level, what we call matter is in fact 99.999% empty or so-called empty. When you realize that reality is an illusion, or if you can agree for a moment that it's an illusion, and when you integrate the fact that you're constantly co-writing the script, then you can start at your own level to apply the principles that can change the program. What I'm talking about here is to use the right words and to become conscious of our main feelings, whether it's frustrations, anger, sadness, just in order to replace it with more relevant emotions for transformation. Because emotions are the very result of what we're telling ourselves constantly, you know, the little voice inside your head, that that's exactly what conditions our level of vibration and therefore the level of reality we connect with. So it's really about finding a way to reclaim our own power. So in order to change this, we need to understand that our perceived reality is not reality, but our projection of our perceived reality, which is mainly governed by the past. And that's an important point here. It's very important to realize that our present is driven by our past. 90% of our reactions are pre-recorded, as explained earlier, and replayed by the unconscious mind. So, in fact, our present moment is a replay of our past. It means that if you change your thoughts, you can change your perception and therefore your emotions. So we're in this kind of, cause and effect combined. So as soon as you do this, your level of vibration changes. And then you connect with different kinds of realities, different events. You meet new people and you get different outcomes. So it's important to realize that we have been absolutely brainwashed from childhood to believe and understand the world in a certain way and to conform to the global agreement, which means, according to what I said earlier, to help solidify this very version of reality, the one we have in the world today. And most people are here on this journey and feel pretty much powerless. The deal is to work, what most people believe is that the deal is, okay, I have to work and work and work and work and pay taxes and to comply with the rules. And then we know what's next. You just retire and you die. Is it really what we want? And do we have options? And my answer to that, according to my own life experience, is yes, we do. Because we are much more powerful than we think. So, I believe there's much more to life than this model based on fear and survival. We are vibrating particles held together by consciousness, and therefore we're sort of immortals. I know it's a big word, but we are neither dead nor alive. We just are. Matter is only energy vibrating at a different frequency. So we have really nothing to worry about. What are we scared of? We just move from one form to another, from one level of density to another, and ultimately from one dimension to another. So when we start to put things in perspective, we start to ask ourselves some different questions. What is it that I want to do while I'm here? What it is that I really want to express? Because And you know that, Francesca, I say that very often, we're absolutely unique and we're beautiful beings. So we're the only one able to express our uniqueness in this world. And fear is the number one obstacle that keeps us away from our life purpose in many cases. So in the other side of that is as well that life should be fun and interesting, and not only a sort of pre-agreed deal to serve a system, to have the right to survive in it. We should have fun.
I agree with you. I mean, you're talking about a model of life called, you mentioned fear and survival, but as you well know, there's a new model of life and consciousness folding. And even though, I just want to go over the fact that even though you mentioned the way we've been living is, you know, has been instilled in us since childhood, and this is what we've been brought up to believe, I just want to stress that we can feed our minds a new story, because in essence, that's what you're talking about.
Yes, and you know, we know exactly what the old story is bringing us. We've been experiencing that for so long. So what we're saying here is, isn't it worth to explore some other possibilities, ask some new questions, and give ourselves a possibility to live a different life?
In a new footprint or blueprint. Yeah, I agree.
Yes. Do you think I've got the time very quickly to very practically tell our listeners about a few things that, in my opinion, are definitely needed in order to start this process and to be able to access a new level of reality?
We have about 2 minutes, so let me do this. If our listeners are interested in getting in touch with you, they can find you online at gblifecoaching.com. You have 2 minutes and about 15 seconds, Dennis, to fill us in before I say goodbye.
Okay, thank you very much, Francesca. First, in my view, no change is possible if you don't decide to take time for yourself. We're talking about time here as well, just a few seconds, but take time for yourself every day. Take time to just be and do nothing. It's really about making the clear decision to step out of the wheel. We're not guinea pigs. Just step out of the wheel. Second very important thing, in my opinion, is to become conscious of our addiction to outside mainstream information. And I'm talking about here, clearly, about TV, papers, and everything. And why? Just because that's what reminds you every day about a reality that you have to believe in instead of making your own. And that's, I think, very important. And the third element, which is key in my opinion, is to sleep more. Most of us are sleep deprived, and we need to give time for the system to regenerate, to do all the maintenance, but as well with sleeping more to be able to do all the updates and the downloads of new reality in your process of transformation. So, and that's very practical things that are key to start a new process and find your way in your own reality.
Dennis, I'm going to stop you there. Thank you so much for sharing. Last thoughts were to take time for yourself, to just be, to sleep more, to rejuvenate ourselves, to get back to that very core of our being. This is fabulous. This conversation today is absolutely wonderful, and I can't thank you enough, Dennis, for your time today. It's been a pleasure. If our listeners want to find out more about you, again, it's gblifecoaching.com. Again, Dennis, thank you so much. We do have to conclude our discussion today, but until next time.